following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News. Here are your hosts, Olivia Reiner and Tom Silverstein. Welcome everyone to our Packers News JS Online Green 19 podcast alongside Tom Silverstein. I am Olivia Reiner. It is late at night and we are ready to recap the Packers 31-24 victory over the Detroit Lions. Big achievements today for the Packers. Not only do they win the NFC North, they also clinch a playoff spot, which I suppose that's what winning the NFC North is really at the end of the day all about. However, on top of that, they currently hold the top seed in the NFC. The Philadelphia Eagles did the Packers a solid and beat the New Orleans Saints. Now the Packers and the Saints have the same record. However, the Packers hold the tiebreaker. So some big things there for the Packers. However, there's always the good, the bad, the ugly, the stuff that Tom and I are going to chat about today. Tom, do you want to hand out flowers first or do you want to hand out rocks? What do you want to do?
Let's call it the good, the bad. Well, actually, yeah, the good, the bad, and the special teams and defense.
The good, yeah, I think most of the flowers are going to go out to the offense. And then I'd say most of the rocks. I don't even rocks. Now. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Could have come out to everybody else.
Yeah, I wrote this in my column and it, the more I think about it and this team is so guided by its offense that, the offense continues to take on more responsibility week after week and they have to win in different ways. I mean, they have to put up 31 points but they have to find different ways to do it. And Detroit, I thought, played really good defense. I mean, they, for who they had on the field, they wouldn't let the Packers run the ball in the first half. They wouldn't let them throw it to Devontae Adams, and to do both of those things is really remarkable. But the Packers just kept grinding and grinding and finding ways to move the ball and took advantage of guys like Valdez Scantling, who came through big, and Robert Tonyan, and eventually Aaron Jones got going a little bit and they just find ways to score 31 points. That's the name of the game.
It is miraculous. What they were able to do tonight on offense, I wrote about the third down efforts that they were able to make tonight. They converted 73% of their third downs. Not all by their own volition. Some of it was by penalty. However, 73% of third downs converted is a pretty spectacular number. And it speaks to the success that they've been having all season. They've been averaging, well, going into tonight's game, they were averaging around 47% success on third downs. And now with tonight's number included in the equation, I did some hashtag math, which is a feat. And the Packers are now averaging 51% success on third down, which is going to go down. It's going to go down. But tonight's game inflated the number pretty high. So that'll likely come down to earth. However, regardless, I mean, that's a huge improvement from last season. Last season, they were averaging 36% success on third down. And interestingly enough, one of the things that offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett said last season I always remembered this. He said that a playoff team converts on 40% of their third downs. And the Packers were a playoff team. However, they did not convert 40% of their third downs during the regular season. They only converted an average of 36%. It kind of ended up showing. I mean, the NFC Championship game last season was a total collapse, but especially on third down for them. I think they were like 3 of 9 in the NFC Championship game. So they've truly taken a big stride on third down. And Devontae Adams wasn't targeted at all on third down. It was everybody else that was able to do the work. So a lot of growth on offense from 2019 to 2020, especially on third down there.
Yeah. And I was looking it up. So they came into the game ranked 4th in third down percentage, which is So they were already doing pretty well. And this just probably solidifies them as number one for a while. It was pretty remarkable. And, you know, it wasn't like they were hitting these deep balls or, converting third and ones. They had some, third and sixes and sevens that none bigger than the, I forgot if it was 21 yards to Valdez-Scantling.
Yep.
On that drive in the second half, that was just, that was as clutch as you can get. And, if you're converting at that rate, you're playing pretty good offense.
Yeah, 51. Again, math is, I'm pretty sure I did the math correctly. I think I know how to divide by 13 to get the averages. However, it sounds crazy. It is crazy. Don't think they're going to be able to sustain that over the next three games. But who knows? Maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe they'll pull off something miraculous. So that was the offense.
Yeah, it was just, at times you'd look at it and you go, boy, they are just grinding through. They're not getting many yards. But they actually average 6.4 yards per play. And that's just about what they average. It's a little bit more than what they average for the season. So they may not have gotten the ball vertically, but they got it moving forward in smaller chunks, more consistently. It was kind of a different kind of offensive day. And I think that's not bad. I think it's good to win in different ways or to be successful in different ways.
Yeah. And if they're earning yardage in smaller chunks, that means they're staying on the field for longer periods of time. And tonight the Packers won the time of possession battle, 35 minutes and 30 seconds versus the Lions 24 minutes and 30 seconds, which ultimately you have the ball longer, you got more opportunities to make some plays.
Well, that was so key because their defense was at the end of the first half, gave up a long drive and then nearly gave up another drive. And, Green Bay needed to somehow keep its defense off the field. And that's exactly what they did with that eight and a half minute drive to start the third quarter. And then they had another drive that was, I think it was like 6:49 or 7:49. Anyway, they had, 16 minutes of the first 20 minutes, they had 16 minutes of possession time. And so their defense is on the sidelines, just, taking a nice breather.
Catching a Gatorade, drinking Gatorade, maybe not catching it.
Yeah, and at the same time, so is Matthew Stafford, who is having a pretty darn good game. And he's on the sidelines, wondering when he's ever going to get back in there.
Yeah, and when he was in there, a good game from him and a good game from their offense too. And the defense really didn't do them any favors coming into tonight's game in the red zone. The defense was allowing scores on 97% of plays of some capacity. So not just field goals, including field goals as well. So touchdowns and field goals, 67% touchdowns tonight. The Lions were 3 of 4 in the red zone. So, it is what it is.
Yeah. It's, I guess the part that was really troublesome was on that drive, long drive in the third quarter, right after. So the Packers take a 2-touchdown lead and which is it? Yeah. 2-touchdown lead, 28-14. And Detroit comes back with this 13-play, 75-yard drive, and the Packers had 5 penalties, 4 of which gave them first downs. So what's up with all the defensive holding? Amos got one, Kirksey got one, King got one, and then they had too many men on the field. Just terrible. They just could not seem to cover very well in this game.
No, and it was interesting. The broadcast, they pointed out Christian Kirksey's holding call on that drive. He was in coverage against Danny Amendola. And I suppose Amendola had him beat well. Like it just wasn't pretty. And I don't know what help he had exactly. I'll have to go back and take a look at the play, but perhaps it was a good penalty to take, because even though it gave him he was going to get beat one way or another. It ended up being an incompletion and gave the Lions a fresh set of downs.
Yeah, that's true. That's
so, that's... but yeah, I mean, the penalty is everything. You take a look at everything else. Not great for the Packers, especially too many men on the field. I mean, that's not, you can't do that.
No. And, you know, the special teams, of course, I don't know if we're ready to go there yet, but once again, gave up another long return. Barely, came out alive on that onside kick. And, you know, Matt LaFleur decides to go for a 57-yard field goal when, you know, a lot of coaches would have played field position there. They would have punted the ball, tried to get it down inside the 10 and let their defense go to work. But he's like, I think I'll take the risk of a field goal, because chances are, you know, so if Crosby misses, the ball comes out to the 47. And, you know, so if Scott has kind of a cruddy punt and they return it 10 yards, maybe they're at the 37. So what's 10 yards? And as it turned out, you know, he made the field goal and they gave up a 71-yard kickoff return. So, you know, LaFleur's got to be of the mind that every time the offense has the ball, they got to score. They got to find a way to score. So from 57 yards, what the heck, I'm doing it. I don't blame them 100%.
That's not exactly a lot of confidence from the head coach in his defense, and rightfully so. But there's a lot of confidence there in Mason Crosby to make the 57-yard field goal in a building where he struggled mightily just a couple of years ago. So big continued redemption for Mason Crosby in Ford Field, 57-yard field goal, 1 yard short of 58, which was his career long. On the broadcast, I believe they said it was 58 yards. It was officially scored as 57 yards. So
yes,
we'll give Mason Crosby half of a flower for almost tying his career high. However, at this point, Tom, you look at the special teams, you look at the defense, you know, we've discussed the shortcomings so far today, but can they do better? Is there room for improvement, or is this just it? I feel like we've been asking this question a lot this season. And you know, it's always been like, oh, there's so many games left. Perhaps we'll see some more improvement here, but you know, we're 3 games left in the regular season. We're getting ready for playoffs time now. And is there anything else that the Packers can squeeze out of their special teams and their defense?
I don't think so. I the one thing that I think they have picked up is their pass rush. I thought that Kenny Clark had probably his best game of the year. He was pretty dominant in the middle. Za'Darius Smith, you know, he may not have had a sack, but he had two really key holding penalties. And Dean Lowry with a sack. You know, they had 4 sacks in the first half, and then they lost Rashawn Gary to a mysterious injury that was never announced. I don't know how they get away with doing that, you know, without announcing it just because we aren't there.
I don't know. They announced Chandon Sullivan's injury, who he left early. I believe with a hip injury, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But that took a little while for them to announce that too. He was gone. He had been gone for a little bit.
Yeah. And I never heard what happened to Gary. And now he came in with an ankle. He's had that ankle for a while. but I don't know if that's what it was.
LaFleur spoke about it after the game. If my memory serves me correctly, I think it was, and he may have made reference to the ankle.
Okay. Regardless, that changed things. I mean, he's one of their best pass rushers right now. And so they didn't get any sacks in the second half. That's kind of their game right now. And when they don't get pressure on the quarterback, their corners aren't playing that well. Kevin King got picked on a little bit. Amos had some trouble in coverage. I don't know. The only thing that's going to save them is pass rush. If they can kick up that pass rush a little bit, then that'll change. Then they got a chance to be better on defense. Special teams, I don't know. I think I just don't see it. It's going downhill. How do you stop it and turn it around? I'm not sure.
We had spoke on the podcast and on the last episode, Tom, about your quote unquote conspiracy theory, which I suppose if you look up the definition of conspiracy theory, perhaps not exactly a conspiracy theory by definition. However, it was a guess and a projection, I suppose, that the Packers were going to move around inside linebacker Christian Kirksey and not have him play true middle linebacker. And they moved him around a little bit today. They used him as the strong side linebacker, and sometimes Chris Barnes was the every down inside linebacker. So we got to see a little bit more of Barnes today. What did you make of the way that the middle of the field of the defense played today?
Well, I thought from a run defense standpoint, they were outstanding. Detroit couldn't get anything going. And yeah, it's 97-year-old Adrian Peterson. But, you know, DeAndre Swift is a decent running back. And anytime they tried to run it, it was they got stonewalled. And so I think Martin probably helped in that regard. I think he's more of a middle linebacker than Christian Kirksey is. And Kirksey's a sort of a 4-3 outside linebacker. And in Pettine's defense, that's sort of a Sam linebacker. He covers the tight end down the field and sometimes gets locked up on a receiver or back, like he had Amendola on that one. And yeah, he had a couple assignments with Swift. That's what Christian Kirksey did in Cleveland. That was his goal. Someone else played the middle, but they signed him to play the middle, and it hasn't always worked out. And so I think they're going to continue to work with Chris Barnes and see how that goes. I know a couple times they put him in the middle in the dime defense and took Kirksey out. You know, he was a lone inside linebacker, and that's saying something. They like Chris Barnes. So, you know, maybe we're going to see more combinations of those two, and then Kamal Martin maybe in certain situations. You know, I think they feel like they need to improve there.
So I'll continue that conversation, Tom. Is Christian Kirksey back in Green Bay next season?
Well, it's a little early to make predictions like that, but no, not at the way he's playing and his salary. I mean, they're going to have to cut some salary, and his is going to be there for the hacking. So I don't know. I just think that probably won't happen. But, you know, these are all decisions that they'll evaluate once the season's over. A lot of things can happen. But, yeah, that bottom line is they got to improve at that position.
Kirksey's got an $8 million cap hit in 2021. So something just to keep in mind. I know it's so far down the line. I guess it's really not that far, but you know, love to think ahead a little bit here. Another interesting takeaway today from around the league as well, Kansas City Chiefs win. Patrick Mahomes throws three interceptions today, and the Chiefs are still able to pull out the win. How does a game like that impact the MVP conversation surrounding Mahomes and a certain quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, who also, by the way, is in those MVP conversations?
Well, I think it puts Rodgers right there. I mean, it's probably, he's got a chance to finish it off, just like the Packers have the chance to finish off the NFC. If he's sort of in control, and so are the Packers. So if he continues to play like he's playing now, I think he'll probably win it. You know, now Mahomes could come back and have a 7-touchdown game or something, you know, something ridiculous that'll get him back. But I think Rodgers will get some sentimental votes too. Like, you know, just because he's 37 years old and he's having this remarkable season, I think there will be people who will want to vote for him just for that. You know, might think he and Mahomes are equal, but they'll give it to the old man. So I think he's in prime position for that.
I don't even think Rodgers is leading in the Pro Bowl voting. Excuse me. I believe it's, let's look, it's quarterback Patrick Mahomes, and Russell Wilson is the second quarterback currently in Pro Bowl voting among fans, of course. That's only a part of the vote. But not to go on too much of a tangent, the leading Packers right now in Pro Bowl voting, David Bakhtiari is the second leading tackle right now. And who is the other player, Tom, that is leading in Pro Bowl voting? I don't know why it's so hard for me to say Pro Bowl.
Well, you would think it would be Davante Adams, but I'm going to say, because it's a crazy world, I'm going to say Kenny Clark.
You think that's the crazy guess? That is your crazy guess is Kenny Clark.
Yes.
No, you're not correct. You have to go. I won't make you play this game. But if you're playing along at home, the answer is long snapper Hunter Bradley.
Get out of
here. Yeah, he is the NFC leading vote getter at the moment. 90,000 votes, or almost 91,000 votes. I'm sure by now it's surpassed that. These numbers are from a few days ago. Yeah. So Hunter Bradley on track, currently on track.
So you know what that tells me is that he's got a lot of family.
90,000 family members.
Yes. He's got some kind of campaign going on. How else could Hunter Bradley be?
I don't know. But, you know, in a typical year, we might be able to find him in the locker room and ask him about it. But
I know what it is. He's got a program, you know, a computer program that goes through and votes for him over and over and over again.
He's coding bots or whatever to vote in Pro Bowl. Yeah,
exactly.
You have to like register your email to vote in the Pro Bowl, I think. You can't just like
something out. I don't know how, but
we'll get to the bottom of this. I need to know more about this. This is really piquing my interest.
The other thing is it could be people like his name. I don't know. Hunter
something. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. There's your conspiracy theory of the podcast episode.
I'm just glad you cleared it all up for me.
Yes. So anyway, little update there. But yeah, some big picture things to keep an eye on as well. But yeah, another win. Packers with three more games left in the regular season before we hit playoffs time. And they're home next week against the Panthers on a Saturday night. Are you ready for some Saturday night football?
I don't know. I guess I am, because it means I got Sunday off. So I'll take that. You know, it's a short week, but I could kind of go for that.
I'm so intrigued. I have never covered a Saturday night game in my life, like a Saturday night football game, I should say, professional football game.
You're such a pup.
Well, you know, this is I'm looking forward to it. Late start, late kickoff, so should be fun. Is there anything else, Tom, that we did not cover today that you think is important?
Well, let's see, we covered special teams, right? We covered Offense, defense. Any big decisions? Oh, we didn't talk about Tavon Austin making
That's yeah. Let's hit on that. He was used in the off. He got some off snaps on offense. Yeah, like a few targets on offense, and he returned some punts.
Yeah, they gave him the ball. You know, like he went in motion a couple of times, and like maybe three times, and they gave it to him two times.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he only got 8 yards total, but it was a good start for him. You know, he got crushed on a punt return. He probably should have fair caught. But, you know, this is all about him. This is for – what this is about is him getting ready for the playoffs, is getting back in shape, getting in football shape, and then being able to give them something. You know, they're going to want – they can get a big play out of him, one big play out of him in the playoffs that will make it all worth it. So, you know, he's got to get himself back in shape. The other thing was that, and I don't know if I ever saw him, but A.J. Dillon was active.
He was, and I did not catch him, certainly not on offense. I don't know if he got any special teams snaps.
He did because he's listed as a substitution. So he must have played on special teams. I did not see him.
I also did not see him.
Yeah.
Gotta love covering a game on TV. I guess this is just the nature
of everything. I know. Well, the good thing is we don't have to do that anymore.
That's true.
At least for the rest of the regular season. So, but yeah, so he's back. We debated about whether he was going to play. And I think one of our scenarios was that he might just play special teams.
Just which is, yeah, exactly what Chris Barnes did last week against the Eagles in his first game back off of COVID-19 reserve. He had 11 special team snaps. So easing him back in, you know, I think maybe we talked about it this week as well. Ultimately, right now, A.J. Dillon is the third string running back. You know, what does an active, fully active game really even look like for him on offense? Like a series? A couple touches here and there. So yeah, perhaps he'll get back into that next week.
You know, and I actually thought when they were struggling to run the ball, it looked to me like the Lions were taking away the outside in the first half. Like they were just not going to let Aaron Jones get to the outside. And I thought, oh, well, that's a pretty good time for A.J. Dillon if they're going to allow them to run inside. But, you know, they obviously just weren't ready for him to do that. But who knows if that happens, you like to have that option that you have a guy who can get outside and then you got two guys who can pound it in the middle. So I'm sure they're going to, any chance they can, they're going to try to get him some carries before the season, the regular season's over.
Well, 6 days from now, the forecast is a high of 37 degrees Fahrenheit with a mix of rain and snow. So sounds like some lovely football weather, some A.J. Dillon weather. get your powerful running back in the game.
The other active was Anthony Rush, and he didn't play. He was active, but he did not play a snap. So there you go. Not sure why that was, but they didn't even play him on special teams.
I wonder why. Perhaps we'll find out this week. We can ask some good questions.
We will find that out.
You got to use your 6'4", 361-pound body somehow. There has to be some role for him.
Yeah, couldn't he block an extra point or something? You know, maybe.
I don't know. But, Tom, they don't pay you the big bucks to make these decisions, unfortunately.
I know. That's a shame, too, isn't it?
I think you're more than – you are very qualified. You've seen a lot come through here. All right, everybody. I think that is going to do it for us tonight. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your time. Make sure you're checking out PackersNews.com, JSOnline.com for all of your Packers coverage. Subscribe to our podcast. Subscribe to the paper. We love your support. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you next time.